it's 2 weeks after Easter. What happened? If you didn't know it, Jesus was alive 40 days after his resurrection, just so you needed to know that this morning. And he visited the disciples on many, many, many occasions, and he visited other people as well. And so people knew that Jesus had in fact risen from the dead. And some of those people had already been risen from the dead themselves. I'm sure Lazarus was one of those people walking around with Jesus, talking to everybody else what resurrection's all like, right? What's it all about? And the disciples, they had occasions to be able to see Jesus, and he showed them the wounds in his hands and the side where he had been speared by the Roman soldier as water and blood came out. And so he showed them proof that he was alive. And so the people around them were like, wow, this is kind of cool. Whatever he said, he really did. But still some doubted, the scriptures tell us. And so the disciples, after Jesus rose from the dead, we're going to pick up the story, John 21. We're going to see what's going on in their life. Now that they have the new covenant, the old covenant has been abolished and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Now we're living in the new covenant where there's no law anymore. There's only mercy and grace. Wouldn't that change your life to think that you only have mercy and grace from God and that you're forgiven? And oh, it has. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, that happened to you and me and us, right? Awesome, through the blood of Christ and his dying on the cross, sacrificing himself for all of us to show the expression of his divine, awesome love, the unconditional love he has for us all. So we're going to pick up the story, John 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. He was one of the people that saw the empty tomb. He's the one that saw Jesus and saw the wounds. And what's he doing with the after? What's the then what for Peter? Going fishing. Back to his old life. That's how he started with this whole thing, right? Jesus met Peter in Galilee, as well as the sons of Zebedee and all those there. That's where Jesus found them, fishing. And what does Peter go back to? Fishing. How many of you ever change and go back to the way you used to be? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see. I see a victory instead. Okay. He goes back to fishing. Isn't this the same Peter who said that Jesus was the Messiah? Isn't this the same Peter who told Jesus on the night of the Last Supper that even if everybody else deserts you, I never will. In fact, I'll die for you. Didn't he say that? Maybe not with that exuberance. I don't know. He meant it at the time, right? This same Peter who is human, who now needs to become more divine, I would think, after being with Jesus, right? And knowing about the resurrection, believing in the resurrection, that Jesus was actually who he said he was, that even death couldn't hold him, and that Jesus had told Peter, as well as all the other disciples, that after he resurrected, he would send the Holy Spirit, and then they would go out and tell all the world about everything Jesus had done. So what does Peter do? Goes fishing. Back to where he started. We'll come too, they all said. Peter's a great leader. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. What happens when you try to go back to your old life or go back to things without God, without Jesus? It don't work. Thank you. Right? Caught nothing all night. These were fishermen. That's how they made a living. But Jesus wanted them to make a new life, right? A godly life, the kingdom of God kind of life, right? Which is different from the world, correct? But needless to say, they caught nothing all night. Life without God doesn't work, does it? Even if you know how to do something like fishing, a simple thing like that, that they had done all so many times. Couldn't do it without Jesus. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" I love Jesus. You think he knew they didn't catch any fish? Did he know exactly where to find them? Did he know where they would be in the human sense so very often as we're a mountaintop experience and then life comes back and gets us, right? Even after the best days we may have, life is still life sometimes, right? And sometimes we can, and when we want to change and we tell God we want to change and grow and we start to, and then all of a sudden we sometimes go back to, don't we? Because why? We didn't go their new place with Jesus, see? They were thinking they were going to take care of it on their own. Those of us that want to run our lives by ourselves, of ourselves, and only by ourselves, through all the wisdom and knowledge that we have as the human beings that we are, and all the intellect we could possibly have, without God, you cannot catch any fish. Right? All right. Hey, fellas, caught any fish? Haha, I know you didn't. No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. Whoa! Here's the cool thing about, even if you go back to your old life, even if you go back to things that are not what you're meant to be involved with, whatever the case might be, you're not going to go to your old life anymore. You're going to have this new life in Christ, right? Even if you slide back, so to speak, Jesus still appears and comes and calls you and says, hey, you need some help here? And then he gives you guidance and direction so that you will do the thing that you're trying to do by yourself. Isn't it good to know that even when you fail at the thing that you're trying to do, Jesus doesn't leave you out there in the middle of the ocean, just throwing out nets, never getting anything, leaving you there, just getting seasick and spending all that kind of time and energy and talking to one another about what you're trying to do to solve your problems, whatever you're going through. Isn't it good to know that Jesus is on the shore watching you, seeing what you're going through and says, hey, need some help? Going through some difficult times in your life? I'm here. He shows up. Jesus is the God who shows up into every circumstance we find ourselves. We don't always recognize it because we're too busy trying to fix the circumstance. For those of us that are control freaks. Okay, so. Throw out your net on the right-hand side. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. You see what happens when you fish or do anything? I know it's literal, but you do anything with God. You notice how easy it is and how much more fantastic it turns out, how much abundance there is, and how great things are. When you include God and he says, go to the right, and you go to the right, and boom, success. You go to the left if he says so, success, correct? So that teaches us what? So they did. So I did. Whatever God said to do, I did. Correct? Or if someone gives you advice, godly advice, and God tells you how to do something through someone else who has the Spirit of God in them, and they say, here's what I think you could do in this situation. God is speaking this through the Word. Here, do this. I want to hear. So I did. Wouldn't that be great? Because what's going to happen? Success every single time. Victory every single time. Every single time. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Well, like who else could it be? But anyway. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. So suddenly now he puts his tunic on. He's taken that human self, the fisherman self. He's out there, you know, just unclothed, and he puts on his tunic, the godly tunic, to be in Jesus' presence again. He suddenly flips from the fisherman to someone who's now a worshiper of Jesus again. He puts that tunic on. And he jumps into the water and headed to shore. Oh, he jumped into it. I wanted him to walk on it. Oh, anyway. He jumped into the water and headed to Jesus. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there to the shore, they found breakfast waiting for them. Jesus must have brought some kind of a cook with him. Fishing fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Who made the meal? Jesus did. The disciples were fishing. Nobody else was around. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus says. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. But let's pick a little bit of that apart for 1 second. Jesus, who on the Last Supper, right? Remember, he washed the disciples' feet and he served them bread. And he was the Lamb of God, right? Who takes away all of our sins, right? And he was the Passover Lamb, right? And he told those disciples, do what I've taught you to do. Wash one another's feet. Serve. If you want to be a leader, be a servant. Do what I've done for you. So he gave that example, the Last Supper. And now we see him, the third time he sees the disciples, he makes them a meal again. Bread and fish. Not the fish that Peter and those guys caught. Jesus, the miraculous Jesus, already brought his own food with him. Always ready to supply the need for others. And he makes the disciples breakfast. That is the kind of God we serve, who serves us first. Always meeting our needs, whatever they might be, and willing to give to us so we can eat and we can be fed. That's Jesus. That's the character of God, right? And what we also see here is he serves them this food, and he doesn't say one thing about how bad fishermen they were. He doesn't say to Peter, you used to be able to fish pretty good, and I told you you were going to fish for people. You can't seem to do that. See, we don't have a God like that. We don't have a critical God, okay? You're getting that, understanding that, right? He dismisses, he overlooks our sins. He overlooks our failures. He overlooks our faults and our flaws and our quirks and all those things that some of you have. We all have. But he's always serving first and foremost. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these fish? I threw that in there because the fish were right there with Peter. Peter loved to fish. That was his old life, right? That's how he made a living, right? And he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And here's what Jesus answers. Then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. A third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So what do we see there? We know he denied him three times. It's a clear message here. But that there's something deeper here I see. I see the fact that Jesus was now giving Peter a whole new calling. He used to be a fisherman, catching fish. Now he's to be a shepherd and feed people. The lambs that Jesus is talking about are the young ones, the ones that barely know God or things of this nature, and Jesus wants them to be fed. If you love God, if you love Jesus, you feed his lambs. You take care of the sheep. And feeding people sheep, I'm sorry, feeding sheep is you all are the sheep we're talking about, right? And we're all sheep in this together, are we not? So, what we see here is Peter is no longer to be a fisherman. He's to throw away his nets, and his new life is about to begin as a servant of God. One of the things that Jesus had said in John 10 was that he was going to sacrifice his life for the sheep. And then as we go down in this story, Jesus tells Peter how he will die for the cause of the sheep as well. And so what we see here is there has to be sacrificial love and care for the sheep. If we say we love Jesus, if we say we love God, but we don't love one another, we don't have God's love in us whatsoever at all. Jesus fed, Jesus served. By example. I know so very often that we use a lot of words to describe what God is like and how we're supposed to follow God and things of this nature, right? There are messages about that throughout Scripture. But the most important message any one of us are given through this story is that we are to be servants of other people. We are all here, like Peter. He was a fisherman. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't an apostle. He was a fisherman who Jesus said, feed my sheep. Put down your fishing gear and start caring for my sheep. And Jesus said in John 10 that there's other sheep outside of the fold that need to come in so that there's one flock, one shepherd, one Lord. That's what churches are. That's who we are. There are sheep outside of these walls, outside of these doors that God wants us to take care of, to feed. Spiritually first always. Help them find a relationship with God and through Jesus Christ. And it isn't going to just be by us preaching and teaching. Well, we are going to teach. We are going to do a lot of teaching, but it won't take any words for that. Isn't it good to know that? It's through our actions, is it not? When the disciples were out there on that boat, Jesus prepared for them a meal. And then he could reinstate Peter and give Peter the new calling upon his life. And later on, we see in the book of Acts how the early church started. And it's been going on for 2,000 and some years, right? But the story is the same. Whether I was sitting there or you were sitting there or Peter was sitting there or those other disciples were sitting there, we get the same exact message through the scriptures for each and every one of us. Do you love Jesus? Feed his sheep. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Take care of the lambs. Do you really love Jesus?
Yes.
Feed God's sheep. And who are God's sheep? People, thank you. And which people would they be?
All
people. All people. 153 fish has been interpreted to mean that that was how many different clans and different kind of ethnic people were on the planet at the time. But they were all included in the net, weren't they? See, Jesus doesn't go through picking around and throwing out fish. Now, fishermen do that. But the thing about using the analogy of sheep, sheep are harder to even corral more than fish. I will tell you that. And they're a lot harder to take care of than fish are, aren't they? Especially if all you're going to do is catch them, kill them, and eat them. And here's the beauty of this that I see. The Old Testament, they used to slaughter these lambs as an atonement. Jesus did away with that. I'm so grateful. I love animals. I'm glad I wasn't an Old Testament preacher. But he was the final lamb that was slain. No need for any more sacrifices. He, once and for all, gave the sacrifice needed for all of us to have eternal life. And so those sheep were meant to be cared for now in a different way. And in the book of Matthew, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, teach my people to follow my commands. And what were the commands that Jesus gave? Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your sheep. More than you love yourself. I'm misquoting. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And who's my neighbor? So Jesus gave those instructions to Peter. You love me? Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Love my people. See, through our actions, listen, love is a verb. We're not going to teach you things in classrooms. There's a lot of words that I could put out in classrooms day after day after day. But it's the actions that I have that I'd show, right, that really teach, correct? It's really your actions, what you say, what you do, how you treat each other and others that come through these doors or beyond these walls. That's how people know you love Jesus and that Jesus resides inside of you. So if we love Jesus, we're going to prove it and show it through our actions, are we not? That's what Jesus was saying to Peter. He didn't care that he messed up 3 times or 3,000 times. He was going to use him. And everybody, anybody can certainly love other people, can't you? Everybody can serve, can't you? Everybody can feed somebody something positive, can't you? Everybody can teach others about love, can't you? And it's not through your words. It's through your actions. It's by serving, making breakfast for people. Not only literally, but sitting down with those folks, caring for others more than you care for yourselves, being there for others when they're in need, praying for others. You know the whole drill, right? I don't need to say anything more. All I want to say is this. We all love Jesus. We're going to prove it by how we treat each other and those outside these walls. Amen? Amen. Amen.